Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure and programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our guest today is Rick Manis. Rick is from Florida, and we'll just have to call him an adopted son of Slidell so he can be on Voices today. Rick's been here a number of times preaching in local churches and evangelist, bringing the Word of God, bringing the message of grace, and Rick has something to say to us today, so we'll say, Rick, glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You're an evangelist. You speak in many places. You bring the Word of God, the message of grace. Tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Well, my ministry, we travel the country, Judy and I, my wife, we travel the country teaching and yeah, really centering everything around the gospel of Christ, the grace of God, the love of God. I've been doing that since 1999 full-time.
Really? So yeah. You've been on the road, an evangelist for, what is that?
18 years.
18 years.
Yeah.
That's great. How big an area do you cover, Rick?
We travel all over the United States. You know, I've been overseas a couple of times, but really just all over the United States. Probably mostly in the south and eastern part of the country.
And you're a resident of?
I'm a resident of Florida in a beautiful Winter Garden.
Well, wonderful. Well, we're glad to have you with us today. What are you seeing? You talk to a lot of people in a lot of places, and of course the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is always the primary thing that we're hearing in the churches. But what are you seeing? We're in some pretty turbulent times right now, times where there's a lot of division, there's a lot of questioning, there's a lot of people who are flowing in and flowing out of churches, and probably just a lot of upset. Maybe God's up to something. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I see exactly what you said, and God is up to something. First of all, I'm blessed in that my ministry somehow has just, the way it has fallen is that I get invited to a lot of different types of churches and groups. I've spoken in the First Baptist Church of the city, small wild Pentecostal churches, to some of the bigger faith churches, and of course those that are turned on to the grace of God. And what I see is, since I minister in such a diversity of groups of Christian, is that they can hear the sound of God in their own voice. That the gospel of Christ really is central, and a lot of times what we're doing is bringing people back to that. There is a lot of upheaval. There's a lot of people are leaving church right now, and it doesn't look good. The world at large is not like it used to be when most of us were younger, where even if they weren't church people at all, or even saved, they still would respect church. They respected the ministry, respected the Bible, and we see a world culture, you know, in our nation and really around the world that doesn't have that same attitude. They're saying, we don't want to be like you. And that looks like a bad and such an ugly thing, but I see something wonderful happening there. I see an upheaval, and I see some restructuring going on spiritually. But no, we don't give up on the church. I mean, even though some people have said that this is the post-church age, there'll never be a post-church age on the earth because Jesus built a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And in Isaiah 9, he said that, you know, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. But things are changing. I pastored myself for 9 years before I hit the road in 99. If I were going to do it again, I would do it a lot different. Back then, a lot of us as leaders and as pastors, it was more about you support my vision, work for my vision, pay for my vision, and God will bless you. Now, because of the revelation of grace that people are seeing, it's more, the leaders are more about, let me bless you, let me help your vision, let me be a blessing to you more than anything. And so, you know, what we do see is this, there is a revival of the revelation of grace. God is speaking to his church, and he's speaking across all kinds of boundaries in the body of Christ. Some are hearing it stronger than others. Some are hearing it in certain ways. But he's speaking grace to his people, and it's causing people to really to see that there's more of a relationship with God than the legalism and the condemnation that a lot of people have been hurt by. And it's a beautiful thing.
Define grace for me.
Grace, it was demonstrated, really simple, it was demonstrated to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave them. So that was the demonstration of grace that shows us how much God really, really loves the world.
Well, Rick, we were talking about this message of grace and freedom from, I guess, tradition and more of an active faith and a personal commitment to Christ. Do you think that's part of what people are feeling, that because I'm free, I don't have to be a part of a group, I don't have to be a part of something else, when in reality, we need each other?
Yeah. And that's the thing about it. If you're going to preach freedom, then don't be surprised if people take it. and they don't show up at church, and they might not give as regularly as they would have when they were compelled. So you have to deal with that. So it's kind of messy that way, and people have to find their way with this. But it doesn't mean that we abandon it. It doesn't mean that trusting completely in the grace of God is wrong.
Well, so many times people say, well, okay, I'm saved, I'm trusting. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
What's next? What do I do? And grace is not about doing so much.
Right. And that's a good question. I dealt with that, when I first started to see this thing. It's like, what's wrong with me? I almost felt condemned about not being condemned. And I felt like I wasn't compelled to do a lot of the religious things. Like, I would always check into the prayer closet, and I didn't feel compelled to do that. And I spoke to the Lord about that, and I said, I feel bad about not having that type of prayer life. And he said, who are you talking to right now? I said, well, you. He said, how often do you do that? And I'm like, I kind of do it all day now. And he says, that's praying without ceasing.
Okay. Excellent. Well, Rick, as we look at this message of grace and truth, and we just said about the doing part, but yet there is a doing part in it. And it's perhaps, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but give you something to respond to. Is it as much a responsibility that we have as opposed to a to-do list of things that we have to do? And if we're doing that, are we in some way causing the divisiveness that we see in the country? Is that also showing up in the church? So I guess I asked you two questions.
Yeah, but they're good. We can go together with those. First of all, it's not a to-do list. We know that. And I would say it's more of a response than a responsibility, because what grace does is it shows us the love of God, and that allows us to have a relationship that's based on the person of God rather than trying to fulfill a relationship by pleasing him through the list of to-dos. I'd like to talk, just answer that first, and then I want to go to the other one. But to focus on that, it's organic, and it's a scary thing for people. That's why there's a struggle and even a fight against too much preaching of grace and the unconditional love of God, because it's hard to believe that accepting that freedom and that love being unconditional, that has the power to affect our lives in a godly way. We feel like we still need some condemnation and limitations to keep us straight. That was my biggest fear when I said, if I go with this, what's going to keep me living a Christian life, if anything goes now? But what I found out was I received the love that I had been looking for, and that love just started flowing out of me. And that's godliness right there. You fulfill everything if you love.
So you're saying it's more of a psychological need on our part as opposed to a spiritual need. That psychologically we feel like we need a limit. We need somebody to, just like mom and dad, don't touch that stove, it's going to burn you. We need some kind of a limitation because we've been brought up like that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we found a responsibility to be responsive to the love of God out of our own heart, out of our own nature.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, a psychological thing. And that's the way of the carnal. That's the natural way that man knows and goes until you know God. And then you come into this higher way of living, a higher law, which is responding to his love for you. And it works. It affects you. And what I found out, when I found out that God loved me that much, that way, is that, well, certainly he loves others that way. And so I can too. And it changed me in a wonderful way where I don't have, see, when it's psychological, we know the rules. So we try to love because the Bible says to. We try to forgive because the Bible says to. I wanted to do all the right things, but some things, it was just too hard for me to forgive. When you find out how much God loves you, forgiveness just happens. It just happens,
wow.
And it surprises
wow.
you.
That is an amazing message. Do you think I asked you a little bit ago and we got off on the grace, but do you think that this is in some way divisive? And I guess what I'm thinking is that, you know, we have our denominational differences.
Right.
And you mentioned that you're able to bring this message, which is an amazing thought to me. And all these different denominations with equal enthusiasm and with equal acceptance.
Yeah.
So there's something about this message that is really not divisive, but really brings us together. But yet, we have all these denominational distinctives, if that's the right word. How does all that work?
That is such a good question, because what happens is, talking about the grace and love of God, that's really central. Most Christians it's hard to argue against love and grace, except for the fear that we have. If we don't see it clearly, we want to preach love with caveats or freedom with caveats, because there again, we're afraid that love's not enough and grace is not enough. And so there's a fear that same old thing we hear. But, you know, I believe in grace, but, and because we're afraid that people need some of those psychological checks, which, you know, if we don't have time to get into all the theology of it, but it's the knowledge of good and evil that we started off, that we took in the beginning, early on, and that is what brought all the death, the corruption, and the division. When you talk about the division in the body, I believe that it's because of that same spirit, that fleshly spirit of trying to keep the list of the right things to do. And so people don't know that love, people are afraid to put love first, because it does allow a lot. And God is that way. See, God is not a controlling spirit, obviously, or else he would have never let us eat that tree. He would have never let a lot of things happen that happens.
Amen.
But God is in love. And a lot of times love has to just, you know, there have been people that I loved, and my own children made decisions that I told them, don't do that. It's going to be wrong, bad for you. And they made it anyway. And I got upset about it because I saw where it was going. But I had to decide that I was going to go ahead and love unconditionally. And that's how God does. He lets us choose, but he loves us unconditionally. And that love always keeps our heart open to come back to him and respond to his goodness. And love is what actually does the change. And so the division is because a lot of Christians don't believe that that's enough.
You know, it seems like it's a confidence in what you believe is really true.
It really is.
If you have the confidence to know and to understand that God loves me, then you can be a lot more open and forgiving. But if all of a sudden God loves me but not you, because of our denominational distinctives, which have nothing to do with salvation, then all of a sudden we become divisive. So what draws us together is the love of God, His grace, and being confident in ourselves that we got something going with him. Is that kind of right?
That is a great way of saying it, because that's what it is. Of course, like I said, Ephesians says that unity comes from the bond of love. And really, it's that confidence in the love of God. Personally, I've tasted it enough for me, and I've seen what it did for me, that I am totally convinced that it's the way to go. A lot of people haven't seen that yet, so I understand the tentativeness about it. But, you know, I tell people, I say, let's lead with the love. And they're like, yeah, but what about these culture wars that are going on? We can't just put a stamp of approval on anything, on everything. But I'm like, but let's lead with love. Let's let the other things fall into line where they are. Let the love come first. And they think we got to put the law first and then love, and usually from afar. And so we're not reaching people culturally, and within the church, people are fighting over things, and they're not hearing each other. Because they're talking about doctrines and beliefs rather than love. Love causes a heart to respond in a way that condemnation never can.
Moving our conversation to a slightly different aspect, can you define love? Now, I know we have 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Mm-hmm. If I didn't know anything about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I didn't know anything about, introduce me to the subject of love.
You ask great questions. Here's my definition of love, and it comes from Ephesians 3, where it says, it's the love of God that passes all understanding. It's something that our minds cannot comprehend. It's beyond what we know as love, brotherly love, romantic love, those feelings, and as strong as that is, the Bible says it's beyond that. Now think of that. So whatever we think of the goodness and the beauty of love, he says there's a love that passes our understanding. Because the truth is, God is love. That's the biblical definition. God is love. Love is God. That perfect love, not human love.
But I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to love humanity.
Yeah.
So what do I do?
Yeah.
I mean, what's I'm a practical guy.
Right.
So I'm reflecting God in my life. Mm-hmm. So what do I do? Do I walk around with a wand of forgiveness for everybody, walking up and down the street? Do I find people on side the road so I can give them money?
Yeah.
How am I reflecting God? What does His love in me look like in terms of other people?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's the one that's asked, because everybody wants to bring it down to the, what do I do?
Sure.
What does it look like? And my answer to that is that there's only one way to do it. We can't command people to love. We've done that because it's in the Bible.
Sure.
But commanding doesn't empower us to do it. It makes us want to, and we'll try our best.
Okay.
But being loved, I tell people, don't go out and try to love. Let yourself be loved by God. Then that other will happen.
Uh-huh. Then it just, being loved by God, we become that conduit?
Yeah, because you can't help it. Because that love fills what every heart has been looking for. The reason that we have not love, and the reason that we're for selfishness, is because we don't know we're loved. So we don't feel full. But when you know, when you become convinced of the unconditional love of God, a fullness happens to your heart, and now there's no need for selfishness anymore.
But how do I respond when people reject me? I'm loving you. I'm doing the love of God best I know how from the Scriptures. How in the world do I do that?
I love your questions. Because what happens is, because your heart's now full, they don't hurt anymore. When they reject you, it doesn't hurt you, so you can automatically continue to love, just like God never stops loving them.
So when the Scripture says, I love what God loves and I hate what God hates, that becomes me. That becomes a definition for me and for believers.
Yeah, exactly. And you become one with God. Because the whole renewing of mind and growing in oneness with God is that we think what He, you know, our soul is our mind, emotions, and will. It's our thoughts and our feelings and our desires. Our thoughts become God's thoughts, and our feelings become His, and our desires become His. And you don't see yourself so much as, here's me and here's God. You and God are feeling the same thing.
So I become that priest, the priesthood of all believers. I become that chosen priesthood.
That's good.
Not because I went to a place and I've got a piece of paper hanging on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes it. It really flattens the organization, doesn't it?
It really, really does.
I become the vehicle of God. And then God's gifted special people like you and Pastor Morris St. Angelo of New Beginnings Church, gifted special people like you with the ability to communicate the uncommunicable.
That's such a good way of saying it. That's such a good way. But it's, you know, and what it does ultimately is it brings fullness to the human heart. And that's what God wants to bring. That's why He doesn't lead with law. He didn't come to condemn, because people can put a straitjacket on and try not to sin, but it doesn't bring fullness to the heart. And Jesus always got to the heart of the matter. You know, He'd say, well, so you've resisted committing adultery with that woman that you've been wanting all this time, but I say that if you've had it in your heart, because He always got to the heart.
Sure,
He says,
the
heart needs to be healed. It needs to be filled with the fullness of God. And that fullness takes care of everything, because all of sin comes from selfishness, and we lose our reason to be selfishness because we're full now. Now we're satisfied with God.
Amen. So let me rephrase the question. So based on what you said, can I take our denominational differences not as a dividing point, but can I take them as a richness? Can we learn from each other?
Oh, yeah.
I learn from the crazy Pentecostals who are running up and down the aisles in church? Can I learn from those faiths that are more liturgical, that do the more formal type worship and have a reverence for God that another group may not have? Mm-hmm. Can I learn from all these people as opposed to saying, well, you do it that way, we're not the same?
Yeah. And whatever our group is right. Right.
Exactly.
Nobody's ever said, you know, there's a group that has all the truth, but I'm not a part of that group. But yeah, I believe that we can, because because all of these things started and they congregated because there was truth. And of course, what men do is what men do to it, so it can get convoluted, but there's truth. And another thing that I found is I'm able to listen now. And back to the division in this country between right and left, and the division in the church between doctrine and doctrine, is that what I see is that people aren't listening because they're all right. This one's right and that one's right. And there's no reason to listen to you. But love doesn't necessarily say, I'm wrong and I need to listen to you. Love allows you to have the peace to where what they say doesn't make you get self-defensive about it. Is that you can listen because you're big enough inside and you're full to where they just don't bother you so much. That surprised me. I found out people don't bother me like they used to. They don't frustrate me like they. What's going on here? My heart became full.
Because you and your belief didn't have to be right.
Exactly.
But you had to reflect Christ, and that's always right.
In fact, when I felt like his love filled my heart, I knew a lot of my belief wasn't right.
Okay. Well, Rick, this has just been a phenomenal time of talking with you today. I think you've given us some real insights. Certainly, if nobody else in this world is better, I'm better because we talked with you today. So thank you for coming and spending some time with us. Is there anything else you'd like to add today that maybe the Lord put on your heart that we in Slidell need to hear from an adopted Slidellian?
Thank you. I love that because I love Slidell. To wrap it all up with what we just said, the whole thing is let God love you in spite of your condemnation, in spite of your faults and your flaws. In Christ, you're perfect in those imperfections, and God loves you, and he really does. And go ahead and just let him. And when you feel bad and when you make mistakes, just let God love you and watch what happens to your heart.
Wow. What a great message. What a great way to wind this up. Thank you, Rick, for being with us today. We really appreciate your time and the insights that you brought to us. I think you make a good Slidellian. Appreciate you.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's great.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning into Voices here today on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can give us a call now at 985-250-1037. You can send us a text, leave us a voice message. And if there's anything that Rick said today that you want to comment on, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you want to be in touch with him, send us a message. We'll tell you exactly how to do that. He's a man of grace and God with a great message for today, and we really appreciate him being with us, and we appreciate him to you listening. We would encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell. We'd also like you to check into our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible donations to support this station. We need the financial support of people just like you. And again, the number to call for the comment or a text is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.